It's All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Sean Carlson. Turkey and sweet potatoes and cornbread, as much as those foodstuffs define modern Thanksgiving for us, chances are that's not what the Pilgrims ate on the first Thanksgiving, nor did they invite their Native American counterparts to partake in the feast, and it wasn't even really a Thanksgiving. Here to bust the myths behind the nation's most gluttonous holiday is David Silverman. He's professor of history at George Washington University and author of This Land is Their Land, The Wampanoag Indians, Plymouth Colony, and the Troubled History of Thanksgiving. Thank you, professor, for joining us on this Thanksgiving Eve.
Thank you for having me.
I think most of us understand in 2020 that what we learned in school about Thanksgiving wasn't necessarily the whole truth. But in your book, it sounds like it might not even be the truth at all. You write that the Pilgrims didn't invite the local tribes. Can you explain that?
Sure. There was a feast that involved the English of Plymouth Colony and the surrounding Wampanoag people. The two groups had a military and trade alliance. And you know, after several months of diplomacy between the two groups, the English successfully brought in their first harvest. And among the things they did to blow off steam was they engaged in some military exercises, including target practice. Mm-hmm. Wampanoag tradition is that when the Wampanoag people heard the gunfire, they thought the colony was under attack. And so the Wampanoag leader, Massasoit, or Usamequin, and 90 of his warriors showed up at the colony, ready to defend the place.
Wow.
Only to find that everything was fine and that a celebration was underway. And so these uninvited guests stayed for the next 3 days, contributed to the feast, and that was the long and short of it. Neither side attributed all that much importance to this event. That really is a creation of later-day Americans.
Well, let's talk a minute about the food. You say that the celebrants might well have feasted on wild turkey, but maybe not. Can you tell us what people really ate?
Well, we do know that they ate fowl with a W.
Mm-hmm.
That could mean ducks, geese, and perhaps turkey as well. Can't say. What we can say for certain is that they ate copious amounts of fish. They certainly ate some form of corn, probably cornmeal stew of one sort or another, which was a common Wampanoag dish. There were no potatoes. Potatoes are a later introduction to North America. So much of what we associate with Thanksgiving was absent at this particular feast.
Later in the 17th century, the relationship between Native Americans and New Englanders continued to deteriorate pretty rapidly. Can you tell us about that and why it happened?
Sure. The decision by the Wampanoag leader, Usamequin or Massasoit, to make the alliance with the English of Plymouth Colony turned out to be the right gamble only in the short term. But in the long term, this was a disastrous decision. And the reason is that Plymouth Colony gave the English their first permanent colony in New England. And once that place was established, it was only a short time later that the Massachusetts Bay Colony followed.
Mm-hmm.
It attracted upwards of 15,000 to 20,000 colonists in just 10 years. And these colonists, on average, had 8 children per marriage. So that by the 1650s, the English are close to attaining a population majority. And with that population majority, they began throwing their weight around, encroaching on native land, driving native people into debt and trying to exploit that debt to secure more land cessions and even to reduce the debtors to servitude, and trying to play native tribes off against one another to the point that by 1675, Usamequin's son, Pometacom, better known in history as King Philip, is ready to lead an intertribal war against colonial expansion.
Wow. Now, even though a lot of this racial conflict has been glossed over, in part to boost tourism in New England, there are some redeeming qualities of Thanksgiving. Abraham Lincoln made Thanksgiving a holiday to unify North and South. Should we still be celebrating the holiday these days? And if we do, how?
Well, I take my lead from Wampanoag people who I've talked to about this over the years. I think it's wonderful to gather together with family and friends and offer thanks for what's good in our lives. We should do that more often. What I take issue with is attaching that beautiful ritual to a false myth, a myth which is about sanitizing the bloody history of colonialism and reducing our native countrymen and women to bit roles in that story. So celebrate with family and friends and leave the myth-making to other contexts.
David J. Silverman, professor at George Washington University and author of This Land is Their Land. Professor, thanks so much for joining us. Happy Thanksgiving.
And same to you.